Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
All right, let's get into the Word of God. Would you open your Bibles with me to Romans 8? We are also going to go to Colossians 2, so you can put a finger in there as well if you like. Hallelujah. Reading from Romans 8, verses 9 to 11 says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, which if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin," yep, saw some new wrinkles today, the body is definitely dead because of sin, "the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you," talking about resurrection power, "he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Amen. A couple of months ago, I was at the airport picking up one of our guest ministry that was coming to visit us. And by the time I got to the airport, I got a call from our team saying their plane had been an hour delayed. And I was like, yes, Jesus, this is awesome. Thank you for a spare hour in my day, because normally I'm the one that overextends my diary. I was still working on that. And I said, okay, great, God, I have an hour to pray with you. What do you want to talk about? What do you want to do? And I was just sitting in the baggage claim area of Tullamarine Airport and just sitting there. And I said, okay, God, one of my favorite things is just to ask him to start to speak to me about the people that are in the room. So I was just looking around and I was like, oh, God, who do you say this gentleman is? And who do you say this woman is? And I just allow God to actually start telling me who these people are to him. And so we're doing that, and he's telling me, you know, this one's my creative heart, and this one here is my worshiper that reflects joy. And he's just, I'm praying like under my breath, a little loud but not too loud, and just releasing that identity over them. And then he said, I want you to get up and walk around this area and just start to release the kingdom of heaven here. And so I got up and I was like walking around the baggage claim area, like not trying to look, I look weird anyway, so I'm just jumping in the river and I'm walking around and I'm praying, and I don't know, someone might have thought I had AirPods in on the phone or something, and I'm just like praying in tongues quietly. And as soon as I started to release the kingdom of heaven, there was about four or five people positioned in the room who all just looked at me like this. They didn't hear anything I was saying, but what the spirit that was around them, on them, or in them was actually reacting to the Spirit of God that was being released. Very similar situation we had when we were in San Francisco in October of last year, and we were in a cafe with Pastor Don and Hannah, and we were talking to another church leader at the time, and there was a guy who was on the coffee machine. And there was probably five or six of us just at this table, and he kept looking over at us like, and I'm like, oh, maybe we're making a bit too much noise. And anyway, he couldn't really hear what we were saying. But at the end when we went to pay, he just said to Pastor Stacey, he was like, can I ask you a really odd question? And she's like, sure, like we're all about the odd questions. What's the odd question? This is going to be something good. And he says, do you know Jesus? And she's like, yeah, I know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? And he's like, yes, because Jesus is all over your table. He's like, I just could not stop looking. He's like, Jesus was seated with you guys. He was around you guys. He was all over you guys. And who knows that there are spiritual atmospheres and the spiritual realm that is all around us all the time. But sometimes we often, in the fullness of life and the busyness of life, we sometimes don't take time to recognize that that's the case. And today that's kind of what I want to talk to you guys about. I want to talk about awakening to the spiritual realm, about carrying the presence of God, and about releasing the kingdom of heaven. Because this is actually how we bring revival to our families, to our homes, to our cities, and to our nations. Is that okay? Awesome. So we are actually, you know, the Trinity is made up of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God himself lives in community, but we actually are made in his likeness, and we are actually triune beings ourselves. 1 Thessalonians 5 says that we are made up of body, soul, which is mind, will, and emotions, and spirit. It actually orders them: spirit, soul, body. And I think generally we are very aware of our body and our soul. And to be honest, sometimes they're the ones that lead us in our life, not our spirit. When we don't consciously live from our spirit, we actually don't walk in the fullness of the power that Jesus died to give us. As born-again Christians, the moment that we are born again, it is the spirit that actually comes alive inside of us. You know, our emotional realm is still there, our bodies are still there, but it's actually our spirit that comes alive. And I really think that's funny, because I think often as believers, and I know I certainly did, when I first started following Jesus, it was like, oh yeah, my spirit comes alive, awesome, and then I never really think about it again. It's definitely not the thing that was leading my life. Zechariah 4:6 though says that it's not by our might or by our power, but by the Spirit of God. So today the Holy Spirit, I believe, is really stirring us to awaken our conscious mind to new levels of the spirit realm. And today is honestly going to be a little bit different. It already has been a little bit different, but it's probably going to still be a little bit different. So what I'm sharing today are deep spiritual matters. And so I want you to not think about today like a TED talk. I want you to not think about today like a lecture or an informational talk. But what I actually want you to think about today is receiving what God is saying into your spirit. Because sometimes we get stuck in our mind, or sometimes we get stuck in understanding. I'm a very logical thinker, so I'm the first to say that that's me. And we see this in the Bible. When Jesus is explaining the kingdom of heaven and how to be reborn in John 3, Nicodemus actually says, "What do you mean be born again? Like, how do I get back up into the womb of my mother and come back down again?" He was trying to understand spiritual matters through a logical mind. And so today, what I want to invite you to do is to actually allow your spirit to capture what your mind cannot. I know it sounds like I'm talking in riddles, but we can actually do that. And then we're going to stop in between each sections, and we're going to actually have moments where we activate what's being said, because I don't want you to go home and have to try and like work it out or think about it later. We're actually going to do that today. Is that okay? Awesome. So we're going to do the very first one. So we're going to actually pray and ask God to help us receive in our spirit. So Jesus, we just ask you to send your Holy Spirit in this specific thing. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would help us today bypass our logical minds that we have been educated with and taught with for our entire lives. And I pray, God, that today you would help us receive truth, knowledge, and impartation straight from your spirit to our spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Awesome. Amen. So if you have been around Pneuma Church for any time at all, you have probably heard Pastor Corey say that we are spiritual beings having a natural experience, not human beings having a supernatural experience. And there's a French Jesuit priest who puts it like this: you are not a human being in search of a spiritual experience, which I think sometimes is how we think about our journey, but we are actually spiritual beings immersed in a human experience. It's a bit of a flip. It is our spirit that goes on living forever. not our bodies and not our emotional realms. Often as believers, though, we are not moving through the world in that way, myself included. We're not often moving through the world as spirit beings. We often let our emotional, which is our soul realm, or our bodies rule. So let me explain to you some of what that looks like. I drive here this morning, I head out into traffic, and one car cuts me off, then the other one's on their phone, they don't see the light, I miss the next light, I'm running 10 minutes late, and I'm like, come on, and now all of a sudden my emotional realm is very, very much leading me. Instead of me thinking, okay, Jesus, what is it that you want to do today? Where are you? Who do you want to speak to? So that's some example of how often our emotional realms are leading us. Or we wake up in the morning, I look at my to-do list for all the ministry tasks that I have to do, and I start to feel like really, really overwhelmed by everything I have to do. And all of a sudden, I'm not following Jesus with the priority of what he wants me to do, but I'm actually following my emotions with every single thing I have to do. And there is nothing wrong with our emotional realm. In fact, it is necessary, and God has given it to us for a reason. But it should follow our spirit being. Another thing, sometimes my body rules in a way where I have had chronic illness in my life, and sometimes my body is in so much pain, it's all I can think about. It really starts to affect my emotional realm, and then it starts to affect my spiritual realm. So sometimes our bodies in different ways also lead us. But we can become aware both of the spirit in us as well as the spirit around us. And it's really cool because I think our spirit is actually more active than we often give it credit for. It can actually pick up on what is happening in other people, in other places in the room. So Jesus actually does this very thing in Mark 2, 6 to 8. When he raises the paralytic man and forgives his sins, it says, now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts. So they weren't saying anything out loud. They were literally questioning what Jesus was doing and what he was saying in their hearts. It says, why does this man speak like that? This is what they're saying in their hearts. He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God? And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to him, why do you question these things in your heart? So literally, Spirit of God in Jesus was picking up on what was happening in other places. Have you ever had that weird feeling like, I just really need to call that friend, or I really need to call that person, and then you call them, and then it's something massive's just happened in their life, or something, they're going through something massive. That's the Spirit of God that is leading us in those places. Or maybe like you're working in an office. I used to work in an office with like open space, but the door was behind me, and we had quite an interesting boss. And every time he would come in, you'd never hear him, but I'd always just feel him there. And that's the Spirit of God, like being like, okay, I'm picking up on the spirit realm and what's happening there. And the cool thing is also our spirits never actually sleep. So when we're actually asleep, this is a good trick for anyone who's not sleeping well, you can actually just ask your spirit to continue to be interceding for you while you sleep. I don't know about, I know some people in this room, probably this has happened to them, but a little while ago, I literally woke up in the middle of the night and I could hear sirens, and the Spirit of God said to me, they're tornado sirens. And I thought, I don't even know what tornado sirens are. I don't even know if there is such a thing as tornado sirens. Anyway, I was praying, interceding, and then it left and I went back to bed. Anyway, next morning I read in the newspaper that sure enough in the United States there was a really unexpected huge tornado that took out a whole city, and 6 people actually lost their life in it. But our spirits are always awake and can continue to be aware of things even when we're sleeping. Has anyone had any of those cases happen to them? Any of those things? Yes? Ah, good. Got a few people in here. Awesome. So you know what I'm talking about. The other thing is that we can also pick up on spiritual atmospheres in the room or in the place. We can pick up on, you could feel God's glory in here this morning. You could feel the heart of the Father in here this morning. In Matthew 13:58, Jesus maps this out for us as well, because he comes back to his hometown to heal, preach the gospel, preach the kingdom of God. And it says that basically he was not able to do, he does a few miracles, but he wasn't able to do the mighty works, it says, because there was a spirit of unbelief in the place. So he was picking up on what was happening in the spiritual atmosphere. Ever walked into a room and felt like, oh gosh, I think something just happened in here? It's like you could cut the air with a knife. Ever had that happen? Yes, yes. And you're like, oh, I've just walked into a spiritual atmosphere of like anger or disunity or something like that. So we do actually pick up on these things. I used to, when I first started working at our church, maybe like 6 years ago now, I used to get this weird nausea, and it took me so long to work out. When I'd walk into the office and I'd start to feel nauseous, I was like, that's weird, what did I eat for breakfast, et cetera, et cetera. And then I'd walk back out for lunch and I'd be fine, and then I'd be like, oh great, okay, eat lunch, and I'd walk back in, I'd start feeling nauseous again. And it took me so long until the Holy Spirit said to me one day, because sometimes it takes me a while, he said to me, that's disunity that you're feeling. There is disunity in the office today and you're feeling it as nausea. So we see things, we feel things, we hear things, God speaks, we know things sometimes, a supernatural knowing. God will be speaking to you guys in all different ways, but the spiritual atmospheres that are in places and in spaces are very, very real. So being aware of the unseen realm and allowing the Spirit of God to lead us is so key in releasing the kingdom of heaven. It allows us to consciously attach our faith to our ability to see kingdom come and to walk in power wherever we are. And today I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to help us cultivate this deeper awareness of the spirit realm and our spirit beings leading us, so that wherever you find yourself, whatever you find yourself doing, that you will be able to release the kingdom of God. And when we are truly awakened to this, to the spiritual realm, and walk in the fullness of deity that dwells within us, as the scripture says, this changes everything. That's where we start to step into walking as people of revival, like even the things that Pastor Steve's going to share with us about what happened to him when he was in Zimbabwe. This is an exact example of that. This is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that we read in Romans 8, active and able to help us carry a spirit of revival to disciple nations and cities. You're still with me? Very good. So once we have an awareness of what is happening in the spiritual realm, how do we actually carry the presence of God? Colossians 2, you can flick to Colossians 2 in your Bible. We're going to read from verses 6 to 10. It says, therefore, as you have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition and according to the elemental spirits of the world. That just means according to philosophies that are not of the kingdom of God, and according to spirits that is not the Holy Spirit, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and all authority. So how do we walk in him, as Colossians 2 says? How do we carry the presence of God? As I said before, we are tripartite beings, and we need to know that each part of us actually plays a role in carrying the presence of God. So our spirit plays a role. We receive the Holy Spirit. It's what comes alive when we're born again. And if you have not like received the Holy Spirit after service, we would love to pray with you to receive the Holy Spirit. It is what empowers us to live holy lives. It is the Spirit that comes and dwells on the inside of us. But to save time today, I'm not going to go into heaps of detail, but we would definitely love to pray with you after the service if that is the case. So we have our spirit realm, as 1 Thessalonians 5 says. Then we have our soul realm. So the soul realm, and you hear a lot about this in New Age, a lot about this in the world, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about our soul. So our soul, according to the Bible, is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our mind, which is the way we think, it actually needs to be renewed according to the mind of Christ, We have our will, which is what we, which is our desires and our wants. You know, and we want what feels good. We want what is easy. We want what avoids rejection, what is comfortable. But we need to surrender our will to the will of our King. And then we have our emotional realm, so all of our emotions. And when we carry the presence of God, we actually have the opportunity to allow the fingerprints of orphanhood as we accept our full adoption in Christ to be, I think of them like dusted off. And we're going to go into detail for each of these. So if that doesn't make a lot of sense, don't worry. So why, we start with the mind. Why do we need to renew our mind to the mind of Christ to carry the presence of God? It's because we are what we believe. We are what we believe. Many of us have probably been in church and heard that scripture 1,000 times. But there's a very big difference between cognitively knowing it and actually believing it. And I think this is where a lot of us can walk in powerless lives for a long time. I know it definitely was for me. And it's very easy to know the difference if you know it or you are it, because to be it, you don't have to try. You just are it. So, for example, I am a woman. I'm not constantly trying to be a woman. I'm not constantly thinking, I got to be a woman, I got to be a woman, I got to be a woman. What does a woman look like? What does a woman do? I am a woman, and so I am it. It is what I am. And in the same way, when we are living lives, power-filled Christians called to heal, set free, deliver, preach the gospel, bind up the brokenhearted, etc., etc., when we fully believe that that is who we are, that is what we walk in. I'm not trying to think, okay, today I've got to bind up the brokenhearted, today I've got to set free the captives, today I've got to heal. It is literally as I am moving through life, it's who I am. The problem is that when we don't believe it, it gets very, we're trying to be it, it's very hard to sustain. And I think often we get very burnt out as Christians, trying to be Christians, trying to do Christians, instead of just it being coming part of our core belief. It's sometimes also where we get a little bit delusioned with God, or it's like, well, why, if your word says this, do I not see this? There's just a core belief that the Lord wants to change within us. So I'm not trying to shift spiritual atmospheres at the airport. I just genuinely believe wherever I go, the presence of God is in me. I ain't no one special. He just comes and inhabits and dwells inside of me. And where I move, the Spirit of God moves. I'm just like a vessel carrying him around wherever I go. And when we believe that we hold the resurrection power of Christ, it actually gives us the authority to release the kingdom of God. And we move from this trying to be like a conscious awareness. It comes from being unconscious of it to be a conscious awareness of who we are. All right, so we're going to be doing a little activation, because this is who we are as the people of God. We are not people who just go through ritual and go through things. We are people who are empowered by the resurrection of Christ with His Spirit that dwells inside of us. Can you imagine if every single believer, maybe just in our church, maybe just in Numa Church in Melbourne, in San Francisco, in Perth, in Hobart, had this very revelation, how much of the kingdom of God could come to our cities and nations just through this very, very one thing. So Romans 12, 1-2 says, do not be conformed by this word, by the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so your belief system, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, that is good and acceptable and perfect. So a renewing of our minds doesn't start with us trying to change our habits and behaviours, doesn't start with us trying to think about the spirit realm more or think about us having more authority. It actually starts with us believing something more about ourselves, something different about ourselves. So we're going to move from a theology that we give mental assent to of like, yep, I'm Isaiah 61:1, I'm called to bind up the brokenhearted, bring healing, et cetera, to actually have our spirit nature become clearly aware of it and its potential. All right, so activation time. Why don't you close your eyes? So that's just so you can be with Jesus. Think about His face for a moment. And then I want you to repeat after me. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. I have the resurrected power of Christ inside of me. Where I walk, things change. Because I carry the kingdom of heaven. Where I am, God's presence is. And where God's presence is, spiritual realms must shift. And if you said that today and it's not what you fully believe, that's totally okay. There are days where I struggle to believe it. But as I go through the truth of God, like we just did then, what actually happens is I allow the Lord to do a deep work inside of my heart and actually bring him the unbelief that I have. God is not afraid of our unbelief. It's like, God, I don't actually believe I can heal anyone. I don't actually believe it, Lord. Would you show me? Would you do something in my heart to change my belief system? We're not about trying harder. We're about, if you're not seeing those things in your life, yeah, it's not about trying harder. It's actually about letting the Holy Spirit do a work in your belief system. Is that okay? Awesome. Good job. All right, let's talk about our will. Woo, this one for me is good. To carry the presence of God, we must allow our will to become His will. When we submit ourselves to God, we give up our own desires, hopes, and wants and choose those of Jesus. Submitting is an active word. It requires walking out to do it. Oof, this is a hard one. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. We cannot actually do this with good intentions. Trust me, I've tried. It doesn't work. This is a spiritual matter and we need the Holy Spirit to actually help us. Have you ever tried without the Holy Spirit to do something that the Holy Spirit is asking you to do? Maybe get up at 6 a.m. and start your devotional time and you actually don't have the Holy Spirit gracing you to do it. Or you've maybe gone out like witnessing and being like, yeah, I'm going to talk to someone about Jesus today. And then like the Holy Spirit hasn't given you boldness. You're like, I can't do this. To live holy lives, to live lives as Christ, we need the Spirit of God. That's why so many people, that's why I have friends around that are sleeping with different people, partying. They do not have the Spirit of God. They do not have in their own will enough force to go against their flesh nature and to live holy lives. Like, we have the Spirit of God because we need Him. And we see Jesus, even Jesus, who is the perfection, actually dealing with his own will in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember the moment where he's actually, he knows that he's going to be crucified, he knows he's going to die, and he actually comes to the Father and submits his will and says, Lord, if you can take this cup for me, but if not, let your will be done. This is Jesus submitting his will to the Father. So it's not like Jesus didn't go around and was like, yeah, it's just all good in the hood. He actually had a moment where he needed to submit his will to that of the Father's. And he maps that out for us so beautifully. So the Holy Spirit can help us submit to God by helping us obey him and creating in us the nature of God. Holy Spirit cultivates the fruits of the Spirit, which in Galatians 5 are love, joy, peace, forbearance, so endurance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which all help us submit to our will to that of God's. So when we don't want to lay hands on a stranger at Coles on a Saturday morning, or when we don't want to talk to the soccer coach that's been coaching our kids for 5 years, and you know the Lord is asking you to share the good news with him, we need to get ourselves into a position and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to give me boldness and conviction, and I submit my will to your will for those situations. And probably we need to do this daily if you're anything like me. Is that good? Awesome. All right, so we've done our mind, we've done our will. Now let's talk about our emotions. And I really felt for Numa South that this particular part is really on the Father's heart for you today. So if you're keen, lean in. When we are saved, we are adopted into the family of God. We know that by John 1:12, which says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So we hear that a lot. We hear that a lot in church, but what does that look like? What does that mean? Even though we receive full adoption at the moment of salvation, we often find, because of our past, our history, like Pastor Candace was saying, our own natural fathers, we often find ourselves with what I call fingerprints of orphanhood. I don't necessarily think that there is like a spirit of orphanhood that needs to be cast out. I find that a lot of the time in the brokenness in my soul realm, in my emotional realm, because of a whole bunch of situations, circumstances, we live in a broken world, that it's more like a fingerprint of orphanhood that appears like a window with a smudge that I need to allow the revelation and the truth of God to come in and just wash off like that. So Dawna De Silva, who's the inventor or creator of Sozo Ministry, she actually talks about four specific fingerprints of orphanhood. And it's really important that when we carry the presence of God, we are carrying our fullness as His sons, it says in the Bible, sons and daughters, but it says sons in the Bible because it was the son that received the full inheritance. So women, I'm with you, don't worry, but it was the son that received the full inheritance. So we actually need to stand in that full identity as His children to receive the full authority of heaven, to do the Isaiah 61:1 things. So she talks about four of these. So one fingerprint she talks about is the fingerprint of orphanhood that looks like fear. So fear of man, fear of the unknown, fear of failing, fear of rejection. Fear actually inhibits us from carrying the presence of God often because we're scared of rejection of man, or we're scared of failing, or we're scared of or fearful. Will our friends leave us if we do this? What actually happens if I become like this person, and what will my friends think of me over here? What will my family think of me? And some of those things are very real realities, but it is often the fear of those things that sometimes holds us back from carrying the fullness of the presence of God. Another one is insecurity. This is one that I honestly have dealt with a lot in my life. And I say that because we all have these that we deal with, and some of them we have to go back and deal with them regularly as they come up. It prevents us from carrying the presence of God because it nurtures doubt in us, insecurity. It does not partner with the truth about who we are. And insecurity says things like, oh, I'm not enough, or that person would witness better than I do, or, oh, it seems like this other person at church is better than that, or I've only been following Jesus for 3 months. Who am I to pray for someone to be healed? Oh, I stuffed that up last time. I really don't want to do that again. That's our insecurity. So you can see how it inhibits us from carrying the presence of God. The other one is competition and jealousy. This prevents us from carrying the presence of God because it's very inner focused, not God focused, and it actually denies the worth that God has given you and that God sees in you. By trying to prove our own worth or our own achievement, it is the orphan spirit that is always trying to get a seat at the table. Oh, if I do this, I hope they'll see me, or if I'm here, I hope I'll be seen by this, or oh, they thanked that person but they didn't thank me. That is just insecurity that is actually taking our worth that God has given us and our eyes from Jesus on into an inner reflection. And the last one, there's good news coming, don't worry. The last one is false security and self-sufficiency. This for our culture in Melbourne, Australia, is a big one, because for me personally, my parents raised me saying, we are raising an independent woman. We are raising one that's going to be independent. And then sure enough, it happened. And then sure enough, I had to learn how to become dependent on the Lord. We are living in a world of self-made men and independent women, and our culture champions that a lot. So when we come in, when we're coming into the kingdom of God and we're coming into the fullness of who we are as a son or a daughter of God, we actually have to unlearn some stuff and learn how to become dependent on God. This one's been a big thing in my life, because you can see how it actually prevents us from carrying the presence of God, because we leave no room for Him. We leave no room for Him. We're so busy doing all of our own things, sufficient in every single way that we need. That's why when we're being stretched, it's great. We're actually being formed into Christ's likeness. When we don't pray daily, it is actually a heart posture in us that says that we are more dependent on ourselves than we are on God. It's actually a heart posture that says, I can do today in my own strength, which honestly, we know we can't at the end of the day. It's a belief system that says, I got this. Yep, I think I've got this. And our culture very much celebrates this. But if COVID honestly revealed anything to a lot of us, it's that we don't got this. And the only safe place to be is really dependent on God. Is that all good? You with me? Good job. All right, so we're going to do another activation all around this very topic. So I just wonder if you can close your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So you can just pray to the Lord quietly in your heart. But God, I just admit to you that I am fearful. And in the places of fear, God, whatever that is, rejection, loneliness, that if I act in one way, if I become too crazy for God, people are going to leave me, whatever it is, I just ask, Lord, that you would give us boldness and that you would give us peace. Thank you, Jesus. God, I admit that I am insecure. I know you love me, but I ask that you would fill my heart with the affirmation of my Father in heaven. And I pray that you would bring me the revelation that right now I am enough. That you don't only like me, I don't only love me, but that you like me. That I don't have to prove anything to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, I admit that often I am competitive and I am jealous. I need to feel better than others to feel worthy. Help me replace that lie that I need to be better than others to be good enough for you, and help me accept the truth that I am your favorite one, that I am your beloved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, I also admit that I often act from a place of false security and self-sufficiency. I do often, God, think that I have this sorted and I've got my life under control. And God, today I choose to partner with the truth that I am completely dependent on you, even for the most basic things, and that you give me mercy and grace for each day, for this very reason. I need it, and today I accept it in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So now we've talked about what it is to be awakened to the spiritual realm, what it is to carry the presence of God. Lastly, I want to talk to you about the fun part of releasing the kingdom of God. So as we walk in Him, as Colossians 2:6 says, we actually do release the kingdom of God wherever we go. I literally saw us in praise and worship as we were praying. I literally saw the houses around this area being affected by the presence of God. I saw peace coming over houses. I saw arguments that were happening in houses just being stopped. They didn't even know why. They're just peace coming over their places. Everywhere we go, things should shift because we carry the presence of God inside of us. You know when you walk into a dark room and you switch a light switch on? There's not a war between the light and the dark. Is it light? Is it dark? Is it light? Is it dark? It's not. When you switch that light switch on, light comes. That's the reaction. There's no battle between those two things. And it's the same that as we walk through places, the atmosphere shifts because of what we carry inside of us. So what does carrying the kingdom of heaven look like when we release it in places? So kingdom of heaven release can look like a lot of things. I'm only going to go into three of them today for us. When we release the kingdom of heaven, it can look like releasing revelation and salvation. So I was in a cafe. I love using examples because I think they're just so much more helpful. Sometimes I look at amazing preachers that I really esteem a lot and I think, oh my goodness, how are they doing all of that? And then I'm like, oh, it was when you went to the laundromat. Great. Jesus is at the laundromat. So I was in a cafe a couple of years ago and just having a coffee. I honestly wasn't feeling very spiritual. As I was winding up, I saw this vision of a young man sitting on his grandmother's knee doing arts and crafts, which I thought was a really interesting thing. And as it happened, I really knew that it was for this gay waiter who had been serving us, who was just such a beautiful man. And as we went to pay, I just said to him, thank you so much for serving us. He served us so beautifully during the whole time. And I said, thank you so much for serving us so well. We really, really enjoyed our time here today. And I said, this might sound a little crazy, but I believe in Jesus. And sometimes he gives me images for people to encourage them. Would it be okay? I think I have one for you. Would it be okay if I share it with you? It's always good to ask people. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, great, I'm in. That's all I need is a tentative yes and I'm there. And I said to him, so did you have, because the feeling that I had when I had that image was grief. And I said, have you lost a grandmother recently? And he was like, no. And I was like, oh, this is going really well. Great. Thank you, Jesus. It's like, no. And then he says, my great grandmother. And I said, well, it was the one that you did arts and crafts with. That was like your thing together. And he just wells up with tears. And he was like, I lost her 4 weeks ago and arts and crafts was absolutely the thing that we did together. And he said, because of COVID, I wasn't able to go to her funeral. And I said, mate, I said, God loves you. I said, he knows you're grieving and he's in your grief with you. He's sitting with you. He's standing with you. And I just got to minister to him and to hug him. So sometimes when we release the kingdom of heaven, when we're aware about what's happening in others and around us, we bring revelation and salvation to people. We bring the revelation of who God is. The second one is that when we release the kingdom of heaven, we can release hope and peace. Often when I sit in a doctor's surgery, I feel really overwhelmed by just like, it's not cool in there. Like it just feels really like everyone's a little sad because something's happening in their life. And I just love sitting there and just being, God, I just release peace and healing in this place, in this doctor's surgery right now. Let the kingdom of heaven come and invade. Let healings happen supernaturally in the waiting room. We can release the kingdom of heaven even just through prayer and release hope and peace. The third one that I love releasing is healing and freedom. Hallelujah. You may have heard Pastor Sheree talk about, but we went to another cafe. We go to a lot of cafes. All my stories are like in cafes. I love a coffee, you can tell. And this lady who'd been serving us had a strapped wrist. And we were sitting there and we go to pay. And then I didn't know that the Holy Spirit had already been talking to Sheree about this lady. And we went to pay. And then as Sheree's talking to her, I just feel the Spirit of God there. I was like, oh my gosh, we've got to pray for this woman. We've got to pray for this woman. We've got to pray for this woman. I should have known the evangelist was already on it. Anyway, and I'm like giving her the dig in the like ribs of like, we've got to pray for this woman's arm. And she's looking at me like, I know, shut up. And sure enough, we get to the end and she's like having a conversation and just making sure she feels like comfortable and safe. And she's like, hey, you know, what happened to your wrist? And she starts to ask her what's happened to her wrist. And she says that she's sprained it and how she's had all this treatment for it and nothing's worked. And Pastor Sheree was like, well, actually, you know, I believe in Jesus and he heals people. And would it be okay if we just prayed for healing now? Like, would that be all right? And again, yes. We're like, we're on it. And we prayed for her wrist to be healed. We were like, Jesus, I just pray that you would reveal yourself to this woman and that you would bring healing to her wrist. It literally took 10 seconds in Jesus' name. Amen. She's like, thank you so much. It's so lovely. She felt really loved, etc. And we came back, I think 2 weeks later, and she was like, oh my gosh, it's you. It's you, pointing to Sheree. She's like, my wrist is better. My wrist is better. And literally she's like, whatever you did worked. Whatever you did worked. So Sheree had a conversation, corrected some theology over there about what actually had happened. But we can release the kingdom of God and it truly can bring healing and breakthrough into people's lives. Awesome. So finally, I want you to think about maybe a place where in your lives where the kingdom of heaven is needed. Ephesians 1:18-19 says, the eyes of my imagination are enlightened to see the glorious inheritance and power that I have been called into. We're going to use our redeemed imagination. So the Lord often uses my imagination. It is redeemed. It's his, as I am his, to use to speak to me. So maybe you can close your eyes for the very last time. And just imagine one area of your life where perhaps there is currently a storm, where there's unrest, or maybe just it's a really dark place. Maybe it's your workplace. Maybe it's your family home. Maybe it's your children's sports team. Maybe it's your relationship with your sister. Or maybe it's a friend with depression. There's so many areas of our world that need Jesus. When you have it, I just want you to keep your eyes closed, but I just want you to raise your hand just so I know when we're ready. right, so now that you, I want you to use your redeemed imagination to see the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead inside of you. There's no correct way to see that. Some of you may see it like a ball of light. Some of you may see it like a dove on your shoulder. Some of you may not see anything at all. You just may feel like peace wash over you. Thank you, Jesus. So now that you're seeing in the spirit, I want you to imagine yourself in that situation or with that person. And I want you to see how the resurrection power of Christ in you is affecting that situation or is affecting that home or is affecting that person. So now you actually have the prophetic vision of what He is empowering you to walk in. So Father, I just pray that You would give us boldness. I pray, Lord, that You would give us opportunity, that You would give us boldness to go into these places in the next couple of weeks and to release Your kingdom through a conscious awareness of Your spirit and the spiritual realm. I thank You, God, that we are Your carriers, that we are truly those who You have called and empowered to heal the sick, to bind up the brokenhearted, to release the captives, to preach the good news. And I thank You, Father, it does not matter if we have been following You for 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 40 years, that the Spirit of God is the same given to each and every single one of us. I thank You, Lord, for the south of Melbourne, that God, You are changing, You are moving, hallelujah. And I, God, I pray for the empowerment of a mighty army to walk as Jesus walked and to bring kingdom come and to bring revival to cafes, to sporting clubs, to schools in the south of Melbourne, to the streets, to our neighbors' homes next to us, to the schoolyard that our children are playing in. Father, we desperately need You in this generation, and I thank You, Father, that You are empowering us to be the very change that is needed in this world. We receive it today, God. In Your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God, and I ask You to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that You have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.